Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and we'll begin today with reaction to President Trump's State of the Union address. His speech last night rocked and rolled between calls for bipartisan unity and his insistence that he'll build the wall on the southern border himself if a divided Congress refuses to fund it. The speech had been postponed because of last month's government shutdown, and it came as another potential shutdown looms if lawmakers can't work out a deal on border security. We're joined now from Washington by Congressman Seth Moulton. He's a Democrat who represents the Massachusetts 6th District. And Congressman Moulton, always good to have you on Radio Boston. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be back, Anthony. Thank you for having me.
Sure. I'd love to start just by asking you in general, what was the major headline that you took away from the president's speech last night?
Well, the big headline was a lot of talk, and it's not backed up by any action in his administration. He talked a big game about bipartisanship, about coming together to solve many of the big challenges that our country faces. But of course, the story from day one of his administration, and indeed even from his campaign, is not one of working together. It's one of division. And it's a division not just in Washington between Democrats and Republicans, but literally sowing division across the country. This has been the most divisive administration in a very long time, certainly in my lifetime.
But Congressman, there he was talking to a divided Congress for the first time, and he did use some pretty stirring rhetoric, saying things like, together we can break decades of political stalemate, we can bridge old divisions, heal old wounds, build new coalitions, forge new solutions, and so on and so forth. Should Democrats take him at his word and give him a chance to make good on those words?
Why would we take him at his word when he literally lies every day? We've never been able to take him at his word. And that's what's so sad about this presidency, is that you simply cannot trust the commander-in-chief. I'll tell you, being there were moments when it was almost like being at a comedy show. I felt like I was on the set of Saturday Night Live, because what he was saying was so hypocritical that it was almost comical. It was so unbelievable that it was just ridiculous.
Well, what are you referring to in particular?
Sadly, every time he talked about bipartisanship, every time he talked about actually coming together and cooperating, every time he talked about, you know, rising above the political challenges of the day, when, of course, that's not what he does. That's not what he does any day. And so I wanted to have a commander-in-chief that even if I disagreed with, I could trust. You know, I served under commander-in-chief George W. Bush. I didn't vote for him twice. I didn't agree with his war. I was openly critical of it. But as a United States Marine, I never imagined that George W. Bush would be someone that I fundamentally couldn't trust, that someone that might, you know, work with foreign powers, that would precipitously take our troops out of Syria because of a conversation with Turkey. Turkey's president, for in all intents and purposes, is an adversary, someone who wouldn't be willing to release the transcripts of his discussions with a foreign adversary like Russia. I mean, this is a commander-in-chief that we just can't trust, and that's a feeling felt, frankly, on both sides of the aisle.
Congressman, I want to ask you about this continuing disagreement that he's having with Democrats about the southern border wall. He reiterated his commitment, notwithstanding his call for unity. He reiterated his commitment to building that border wall last night. Here's a little bit of what he said.
In the past, most of the people in this room voted for a wall, but the proper wall never got built. I will get it built.
Congressman, what do you make of that, and where this effort to kind of bridge this impasse stands right now? I know I know Congress is trying to come up with a solution on border funding. The president is continuing to insist on this issue of the wall, which he ran on. Where is this going to go with a possible shutdown looming again Friday the 15th?
Well, you've highlighted one of the many ways that the president is untruthful and divisive, because he accuses Democrats of being for open borders, of being opposed to border security. And yet, as he said in this statement, Democrats and Republicans have both voted for border security in the past. But what we want is real border security. We don't want some 5th century BC wall. We want border security that will actually work. Are drugs coming into this country a problem? Yes, but they're coming through ports of entry, not through the open desert. There's mountains of evidence that prove that. And so that's why Democrats have supported border security in the form of better technology, better detection devices, and more customs and border enforcement agents. That's the kind of border security that we actually need. Now, there's a bipartisan group of colleagues who are working to come up with this kind of compromise, to come up with the kind of compromise, or at least the first step towards the true immigration reform that we need, that not only includes better border security, but a pathway to citizenship for those who are here, who are parts of our community and essential to our economy, for tackling issues like the immigration of students who come on visas. It's such a big issue in Massachusetts, where we educate a lot of foreign nationals, but then have a program that sends them back home.
But Congressman, I get all that,
they get here and go overseas.
Yeah, and
so
that's
the kind of compromise that we need, and our colleagues are working on it. But to get to your point, Anthony, yeah, the question is whether the president will accept it.
Right.
I just don't know.
Well, I mean, it seems to me that he's not going to accept it if it doesn't contain any money for the wall. And it seems like if you've got a Speaker of the House calling the wall immoral and just saying there's not going to be money for the wall, why not just give him something, give him some funding for a physical barrier, and then talk about all the rest of the stuff that you just mentioned? I mean,
that's a fair question. I think there are two points. One, let's talk about the question is, first of all, does the president actually want border security, or does he just want to make a political point by being able to point to a wall that's a waste of money and won't work? And by the way, that he promised Mexico would pay for. So that's the first question. If he actually wants real border security, because that's the problem at hand, then we'll come to the table with that. The second question is whether he will actually agree to a deal on immigration reform like we're putting forward at the end of the day, because a year ago we had another government shutdown and he made a deal on Dreamers, on giving them a pathway to citizenship, something that's supported by the vast majority of Americans, Democrats and Republicans alike. And then 2 days later, he changed his mind and he proved himself again a totally untrustworthy partner. And so the deal completely fell apart and the government shut down. So those are the two questions. Will he accept real border security, even if it's not the political wall that he wants? And will he actually live up to the terms of a deal that's negotiated with him?
So what do you think? This is literally in the 5 or 10 seconds that we have left here, Congressman. I don't know if you're a betting man, but what do you bet? Is there going to be another government shutdown on Friday, or is this deal going to get done?
I've never done well in Vegas, Anthony. You know, so much of this depends on the whims of the president, and he's just an erratic man who's impossible to predict, and that's not a healthy thing for our government. So the risk of a shutdown is real, but we've got to make sure it doesn't happen again.
All right. Well, that's Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton. He represents the 6th District. Congressman Moulton, always a pleasure to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, and let's stick with this story and get a little more reaction from the president's speech, including from one of his supporters. Joining us here in the studio is Massachusetts Republican State Chairman, State Committee member, Tom Mountain of Newton. Tom, welcome back to Radio Boston. It's good to have you.
Thank you, Anthony. It's a pleasure.
Also joining us on the line from Worcester is Democratic strategist and president of the Liberty Square Group, Scott Ferson. Scott, welcome back to you. It's good to have you back on Radio Boston as well.
Well, thanks for having me.
And we should mention, by the way, Scott, that you were a senior advisor to Seth Moulton during the 2014 campaign. We were just talking to the congressman, so I just wanted to put that out there. But Tom Mountain, since we heard Seth Moulton kind of offer pretty much an unapologetic stream of criticism of the president, let me start with how you felt the president did last night and what you liked about what he said.
Well, Seth Moulton is really living in an alternative Democrat universe. Even the liberal CBS and CNN polls offer overwhelming support of the president's speech last night, 76% CBS and 59% CNN. So the public greatly approved of his speech. This speech was absolutely magnificent, probably the best speech I've heard since Ronald Reagan's speech.
What did you like about it? I mean, what was magnificent about it?
It was optimistic. It was buoyant. It had a specific plan for the future. It was witty. He was charming. But above all, it was based on fact and factual optimism. By factual optimism, I mean what he has accomplished and what he presumably, and what he will accomplish. We're now at a stretch where the federal government has created 5.3 million jobs under Donald Trump. 600,000 manufacturing jobs have come back to the country, despite what his predecessor Barack Obama said. Black unemployment is at an all-time low, as is Hispanic unemployment. We're at the lowest unemployment rates in 50 years. ISIS has been defeated. Iran has been neutralized. We're negotiating with North Korea.
So, Tom, I mean, you've put a lot of stuff on the table, and we don't have a chance and an opportunity in this context to go through every one of those things. But those are certainly Donald Trump's talking points. And as you know, there's a lot of pushback.
But they're reality.
Some of them are reality and some of them are debatable. I mean, let's talk about ISIS. We know that ISIS isn't completely defeated. His own generals have pointed that out for one example. But I get your point, and I understand your enthusiasm and your support for him. But what about this conversation about the wall? Because he's calling for unity. He's facing a Democratic Congress right now. Clearly, the Democrats aren't going to give him that money for the wall. So is this really a realistic call for unity on the one hand, but to be insisting that no matter what, we're going to get this wall?
Yes, the wall is going to be built, and Donald Trump realizes that, and he's not politicking at this point. He is certainly sincere enough to realize and to make the American people realize that we need the southern wall in order to secure our borders. Every country needs to secure its borders. This southern border is not secured. The wall will be built. If he has to make the end around Congress, then it will be built. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck
Schumer. You're talking about declaring a national emergency?
Yes, and I hope he does.
Way.
And I think that he's holding out just to let the American public really see what the Democrats are all about. They're obstructionists. They don't care about border security. They don't care. All they care about is having open borders on the southern border. And he will let that play out as long as it can and will declare a national emergency, which he can based on the 1976 law passed by a Democratic Congress, I might add. The Army Corps of Engineers will move into high gear, and the wall will start to be built, and it will be built, and it will prevent. And walls work. They've worked around the world. They work in Israel very well, and it will prevent illegal immigration from coming into this country. Then we can deal with the DACA and issue in the illegals here.
All right. Scott, first, I want to bring you in on this conversation. What was your takeaway from last night's speech? And start anywhere you want, but just as a bit of sort of political theater, how do you think the president did?
Well, it I mean, it's the State of the Union is the height of political theater for anybody, whether you're a Democrat or Republican there. So, and Donald Trump certainly took full advantage of it, I think, to a full 86 minutes or something of high theater. To me, it sort of broke down into three parts of a State of the Union in three acts. The first, I thought, was really very well done. You know, you can quibble on whether who gets credit for the economic, strength of the United States, and there's certainly a lot to go around. But basically, if you're president of the United States, you get to own that, I think. And I thought the first 20 minutes was very strong in terms of talking about the state of the union, if you will, based on the economy and all of the economic indicators that are there. And the incumbent president gets to take credit for those things, whether he's responsible for all of them or not. And then the second part, I thought took a quite a dark turn. And I'm sure appealed to some people, but to me, it seemed like a 20 minutes of a xenophobic screed that was to me quite disturbing and overblown to the situation that we face on the southern border. I mean, if I just listened to that without understanding the immigration policy and the things that were actually happening on the southern border, I'd barricade myself in my basement with my family.
So, Scott Ferson, hold that thought, because I want to actually play a little bit from last night. Here's Donald Trump talking about the situation on the southern border.
Large, organized caravans are on the march to the United States. I have ordered another 3,750 troops to our southern border to prepare for this tremendous onslaught.
Tremendous onslaught. Scott Ferson, that's the kind of dark view that you're talking about.
Yeah, it almost sounded like War of the Worlds. You know, it's, I think if there's a compromise here. There's a compromise. And frankly, if I were a Democratic legislator, I'd be comfortable giving the president some money for a border wall, or as he mentioned last night, I think he called it a see-through steel border wall, which I'm not sure I quite got. But with whatever it might look like, we waste money on lots of things. If we could couple it with DACA, and it seems pretty reasonable that coupling DACA with some funding and a win for the president on his border wall would be a reasonable compromise.
What do you
and
think, Tom?
The House
actually,
yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, is xenophobic and the other dour paranoid euphemisms that the Democrats spew towards the president. We're used to it. 72% of the American public approved of Donald Trump's direction towards building a wall and dealing with immigration head on.
Well, that's not true. Well, it is true.
The CBS poll last night. And
well, that's different from policy. The reaction to the speech is different from what people believe about policy.
What we're talking about is protecting our southern border, sealing the border, letting in those legal immigrants rather than illegals, stopping them before they come here. Nations have to protect their borders. If their borders are threatened, they have to take drastic action to protect the borders. Dwight Eisenhower did it in the 50s. Ronald Reagan tried to do it in the 80s but was betrayed by the Democrats. And Donald Trump will settle the issue once and for all. And it's not, has nothing to do with xenophobism. It has everything to do with protecting the nation that is the United States from illegal immigrants.
But Tom, let me just, okay, and I take that point. Two things. I just want to correct you. The CBS poll last night refers to the approval of the State of the Union speech as a whole. 76% of Americans approved of that, according to CBS. But the majority of Americans are against the wall, and a number of polls have shown that. But I want to talk to you about
That's debatable, Anthony, but I won't.
Okay,
I won't
all right. Let's not split hairs over that right now. Scott Fersen put a really interesting idea, and I actually tried to bring that up with Seth Moulton a while ago, and that is this idea of a compromise. If the Democrats said to Donald Trump, okay, here's maybe, I don't know, $2.5 billion, $3 billion on your wall, can we talk about all these other issues, about DACA, about a legal path for citizenship for folks who have been here living in the dark for a long time? Would that be something
Of course. Donald Trump, the president, is open for compromise, but the wall needs to be built. The borders need to be secure. Then we can deal with the DACA people. Then we can deal with the illegals in the country. But the border needs to be secured first before hundreds of thousands more come into this country and further complicate the issue.
So I'm not sure if that was an affirmative response to the question that I asked, because the problem with that the president faces among his supporters is that if he appears to give in at all on this issue, then they turn against him.
We're primarily concerned with building the wall. Everything else can come afterwards, negotiable, but building the wall, that is the key element to his presidency for the United States right now. It must be done, and it will be done with or without the Democrat Congress.
That's not a compromise if you do it, if you do yours first and then get to what the Democrats get. That's not compromise.
Well, it is. It is compromise because we're willing to talk about these issues after we secure our border. We have to secure our border first.
I'm for democracy unless I get my way, and then I'm going to do it. That's not compromise.
No, the Democrats control Congress, the Republicans control the administration, and we'll work out the details after the wall is built. The Democrats, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, being in Congress for 3 decades, they had 3 decades to deal with this issue. They failed to do so. Now we have to deal with this issue before it's too late, and we're tired of it. We're tired of waiting.
But Tom Mountain, on the other hand, President Trump had 2 years of Republican control of Congress and couldn't get this done.
That's true.
So isn't it sort of logical, even for Trump supporters, to accept the proposition that now he's dealing with divided government? He's going to have to change his position a little bit if he wants to get something done. He doesn't control Congress anymore.
Well, and he is changing his position, and the position is still build the wall. We'll deal with the illegals that are in this country afterwards. That's a reasonable position.
Scott Fersen, we're running out of time, but I'm going to give the last word to you. Where do you think this debate goes? And are you optimistic that the government, we're going to avoid a second government shutdown come Friday the 15th?
No, I'm not. I'm not optimistic. I mean, I haven't heard anything in this little discussion that tells me that the president is willing to compromise on anything. And in fact, I find it quite disturbing that if it's sort of like I'm for democracy, but if I don't get my way, I'm going to do it on my own by executive order. I find quite chilling as well. So there is a compromise here,
but it has to couple DACA with
some funding for the wall, it seems to me.
All right, we're going to leave it there. I know, Tom Mountain, I know that this is a debate that's heated and it'll go on, and we're going to have you back as this conversation continues. Thank you for coming in.
My pleasure. I appreciate it.
Tom Mountain, Massachusetts Republican State Committee member from Newton, and Scott Fersen, Democratic strategist, president of the Liberty Square Group. Scott Fersen, always a pleasure to have you. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Stay with us. Coming up, how to balance the public's right to know with a judge's desire to protect the identity of jurors. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.
Wait, don't go yet.
Because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.